Open our Bibles. We're going to Isaiah chapter 6 tonight. And I thank God how wonderful this has been to see as the Lord has been encouraging, really, I believe, laying this foundation in our lives of the holy, the saint, same word in the Greek, same word in the Hebrew, and how set apart in Christ we are, and how he wants us to understand that and to see that. And I thank the Lord, and I sure been praying for my life and every life that hears this precious truth, that we would truly see, and especially as we've been in these cherubim and the seraphim, that these aren't just things that we read and think about. This is, remember Paul when he said, "I glory in that man"? This is it. This is them. This is the cherubim. This is that man. And I thank God that this is the encouragement that we have, you see. This is the finished work of the bride of Christ. There is no greater glory than to glory in that man, that finished work of grace, the masterpiece for him. And I thank the Lord that through Paul's gospel, even though Paul said these are things that were revealed to him in a sense that he couldn't utter in some of the things that he saw. But yet we see these things. And we truly do because of the word of God. It's not hidden. That veil's been taken away. We're back in there. And we're not just back in there. We're back in the Holy and Holies, the Holy of Holies, as we see, to see the type and shadow, to fellowship in, yea, the deep things of God. And we see that that place was for us. God saw it in ages past. He put it there. That cherubim fellowship has always been there. Praise the Lord. That's what he saw. It's not good for man to live alone. It's all over the word of God in all of this type and shadow. And that's, I pray this really brings this home to understand that, you know, don't be confused when you hear the word cherubim or seraphim, that immediately it takes you into, there's the knowing. The Lord is talking about Christ in me, the hope of glory. This is what he sees for me. This is this vessel of mercy that we are. Amen? We come right out of that mercy seat, praise God. One with him. Beaten gold. Praise God. And it is. It's clear to the light. This doesn't have to be a mystery anymore to us. It's a mystery that was made known and shown to Paul, which has been made known and shown to us. And how beautiful this is. And last week, we ventured into Ezekiel. We saw these cherubim. We saw the vision of this of the bridal company. Praise God. And we saw that they had four wings. We saw that that spoke of that weakness, human weakness, four. We also saw that the throne was before above their head. That's how it went around. The throne was above their head, speaking that of them that this was an earthly vision of them. And we saw how sweet that the attributes that we saw, that they had a separated walk. They had that absolute exclusivity, if you will, with God. We saw in them, praise God, and I pray in us, they're holy. Amen? Remember, this starts at that river Chebar, I guess is how you pronounce it. But let's just go with Chebar for tonight because that's how it looks. But that river where it starts is far away. It's way far away. See, we go unto him out from among the camp. Amen. This is out there faith, praise God. But that's the out there faith that he gave us. That's there for us. It's the most holy faith. And it sets us apart in believing, doesn't it? Amen. And it's nothing to be proud of. It's to be thankful. It's to be rejoicing and to give thanks to God that his grace caused you to see this. That you see this is yours. As Brother Copley, he even came here at one time, and Brother Hill saying about how he would strike his fist, and he kept saying the same thing over and over and over. What if I'd have missed it? What if I'd have missed it? Well, praise God. You can strike your fist and say, I didn't miss it. But once again, by the grace of God, that we finish in that full joy. Not that we've apprehended. Amen? But we see how powerful this grace is that's going to finish this good work which he's begun in us. But specifically of note, that's where I want to go back to. And just as we start this again, those cherubim, they had the four wings that spoke of complete weakness. right? And remember, I'm just chilling up because it's so perfect. It's so beautiful. In order for the priest to go into those cherubim, if you will, remember, it was five pillars to even go into the tabernacle. To even go into the courts of the tabernacle, you had to go through five pillars. But to go into the Holy of Holies, it changed to four pillars. Speaking of weakness, it has to be complete weakness for that cherubim fellowship. It has to be nothing but mercy, praise the Lord, and that golden mercy seat, praise God, that we would have that exclusive fellowship with the high priest. It's beautiful. But tonight we're going on to the seraphim, which is here in Isaiah chapter 6. And the seraphim is not only in chapter 6 of Isaiah, you also see them in the four living ones that are in Revelation chapter 4. And the reason is because they're the ones with the six wings. And we'll see in reading just a few things, no longer is the throne above their head, they're above the throne. So it shows that, again, this is a heavenly vision. And we'll talk a little bit more about that here in just a second. But this is the bride. We see the six wings. I'd like to just mention, I guess I'll talk about it now. Those six wings, it speaks of man and man's strength, if you will. I thank the Lord that you see in this six, as it's seen in heaven, you see that there's been a perfection of growth. There's a completion in this with these ones. As well, there's three pairs of two wings, if you will. So you have a trinity as well. Well, if you have three pairs of two wings, you have filled with all the fullness of God. It's just all there. All of that complete fullness is there in this finished work of these cherubim, the seraphim. Cherubim, seraphim, and again, it's the same company. It's the bride of Christ, also known as the four living ones. And in a minute, we'll get into showing that they're the seven angels as well, too. We've got hours and hours tonight, so don't worry. I'm just teasing you. But we're going to move through this. You can see, I got to just throttle down a little bit, but it's exciting to talk about these things. Chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. So once again, this throne, where is it? It's high. It's lifted up. It's in a very separated place. Amen? I want you to think about that. Remember when John is taken by that angel to go see the bride? He's taken to a high mountain. And then he has to look high up because it's descending from heaven. This is always far apart. This is always something very separated. So we see, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. We've spoken about this train, but I really thought it's such a sweet thing to think about, as this train now will speak of these seraphim. But this train, and I'll try to go as slowly as I can, it means drawn along behind the husband. These are all the definitions of this. Drawn along behind the husband. Well, we know back in this culture at this time, the one that would be drawn along behind the husband was the wife. That's exactly how this would proceed, in a sense, in this regard. But then it also means the choice and the rarest part. Isn't that the rib? Praise God. It also means the king's daughter. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't it wonderful? My sister, my spouse, we know. We're so thankful to God in that encouragement. It also means the fairest of the stars. This is like a Esther. Isn't this wonderful? The love of the king excelled towards her, was more than any of the other women. And many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. There's also another. It's the city as woman. Isn't that the city, the bride adorned, the New Jerusalem? Isn't that beautiful as well, too? And then finally, which is another beautiful thing, that word train is the same word in the Hebrew as the word skirt. We're right back to Boaz. It's all that most intimate place. It's always going to bring us right back to that place of the husband and the wife. It can't get any more obvious. It really can't. I mean, that the Lord used these words that are so specific into what he's trying to convey. And I thank the Lord that he does it. And I love that saying. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. And he shows us and shows us and shows us and shows us. Okay, so we'll continue on verse 2. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. It's so beautiful. Seraphim, by the way, means fiery one. Isn't that beautiful? It's so appropriate, isn't it? Whether you're looking at the four beasts, the cherubim, the seraphim, there's a fire in them. They're fiery in love. And we're grateful to God that this passion that is in our Lord, as we begin to know the love of Christ, it transfers into us. We have that passion with him and for one another. They're pillars of flame for him. Now, we know without a doubt what follows him here is all glorious. We're so thankful in this train. It's his bride. This is what's being spoken of here. Now, think of this, because there's a oneness here, what we're part of. Well, didn't the word of God say we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh? So we see that in this as well too. Once again, set apart. So here they are, the seraphim. Again, this is the picture of them that they're raptured and with the Lord. So if you'd like a little bit more detail on that, you can go back to 2009 studies on the cherubim and the seraphim. But we're studying this tonight as far as with the holy and the saints. So moving right along, look at their cry there. Holy, holy, holy. Isn't that beautiful? That's the same cry that's in Revelation chapter 4, where they say, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And that's the four living ones that say this. Now, you think about this because it is the same vision. It's the same vision of this, if you will, the seraphim. Now, what I'm getting at is time is nothing to God. Think about what the Lord is showing here to Isaiah. And then what is this? 800 or so years later, or 600 or so years later, he's showing that vision to John. Amen. And as he sees that in the fourth chapter of Revelation, we're going to get there in just a minute, but he sees these four living ones. So what I'm getting at here is time is nothing to God. He incorporates all time. He brings us into that vision of seeing these things. By faith, we call those things which be not as though they were. See, that's the thing. This isn't just reading off of something about a far-off time. This is being there now in faith. Amen. See, this is taking that seat with him as this bride right now, because as the word of God tells us, the bride or the wife, excuse me, his wife hath made herself ready. Amen. So in faith, you're taking that place. By faith, you see these things as if you're there. Amen. Amen. And by faith, I know the Lord's working in my life. I saw myself in a type and wonder in those cherubims in that mercy seat way back there when the priest went in. You understand what I'm saying? In type of a bridal thing. You get that, right? That there was that mercy. He was thinking of me. Not that I was there in any way, but just in that encouragement to my heart. But now we have this wonderful encouragement to us that we saw of these cherubim that were in Ezekiel. Let me tell you something. Are our feet not straight by the grace of God? Are we not walking in step with the Spirit? Amen. Now we could say, well, wait a second. We sure make mistakes and different things of that nature. Well, there's one thing that never makes a mistake. We will, but the Word of God doesn't. And you can walk according to the Word. You can walk according to truth. Amen. Because it's by faith. It's not by works, is it? It's by believing. And that's the beautiful thing, as we've seen the worthies of faith in the Old Testament, they all, by the grace of God, had one thing in common. They believed God. They believed God. They were very fallible. They made lots of mistakes. They even made mistakes. Can you imagine that? After they became a Christian. Wow. Who are the likes of them? I don't want to be around those Christians. Then I wouldn't ever want to be around any Christian. I wouldn't even want to be around myself. Amen? You see. So again, this is this beautiful walk of faith and this encouragement that we have. So we see ourselves in the cherubim even right now, and the glory that's being built in our lives for him right now. But then by the grace of God, we see ourselves, I pray by the grace of God, as that seraphim, those four living ones, as you see them here in a minute in Revelation 4, that we begin to rule and reign jointly with Jesus Christ. But see, that happens right now by faith. Do you know that? You take that place right now. By the grace of God, you take that word and apply it to your life, and that faith in the grace of God. Amen? Amen. Where's all your sufficiency? In the grace of God. Amen. So we know that's complete mercy, because it's taking, once again, the exact extreme opposite of what we deserve, and it's bringing us right into that point of mercy, the exact opposite of it. That's the beauty, once again, of the mercy seat and the cherubim that grow out of it and look at nothing but the mercy. That's the fellowship. That's the understanding that you get mercy like that. You'll begin to understand, I glory in my infirmities. You'll begin to really understand the beauty that can only be received in mercy. Be thankful to God for that. And there'll always be a fight, because your flesh wants to be magnified. You always think you want to be doing something as opposed to Christ in you who does it all. Amen. I was speaking to a sister the other day. Sure, the Lord does not will us to fail, but he sure allows us to. He said, I'll keep you from falling. Amen. It's a wonderful thing. But we want this. We better go after that mercy and grace. Because as Paul said, that I would only be found having his righteousness. And we know what that and how that was given and imputed to us. Amen? All by the grace of God. That unspeakable gift that we just celebrated yesterday. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise his name. So here we go. We have this, and we're thankful to God. But see, when you see that these, whether it was Isaiah or whether it was John, God placed them right smack in the middle of it, didn't he? He placed Isaiah right smack in the middle. He took him to see that river. He took him to see those cherubim. And then he takes John, and he takes John, and he places John where he can see. It's marvelous. The four living ones. He looks right into the throne. And I think, oh my goodness, see, we don't need science fiction, because this is way beyond it. It's way beyond it because it's real and it's ours. Amen. Amen. I'm thanking the Lord. This is why I'm beginning to really love to study the Bible. I'm really loving to sit and really not go anywhere and to do anything except go everywhere. By faith. Everywhere in here, praise God. So, notice again, that cry of fellowship. Holy, holy, holy. Did you notice? They say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. It's so marvelous. We're going to read here in a minute that the four living ones, they say, holy, holy, holy too. And they say it to one another. There's fellowship there in this holy. They love it. There's thanksgiving. It's a glory of praise. There's a oneness there. There's a love for the adoration. This is us and this is now. And you can see here that they love the appearing of the Lord. They're saying it to one another. They're saying it back and forth to one another. Don't we like to do that right now? Praise God. Give this, in a sense, thanksgiving to God. It's not that I'm praising you, but I'm telling you what, I sure love Christ in you, the hope of glory. It gives me honor and thanksgiving to God. It really does. And I praise him for these things that he's building in our lives. And it's marvelous. So we glory in Christ in one another, the hope of glory. Now, look at verse 6 in Isaiah. Before we go over to Revelation chapter 4, it says, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. The beautiful thing that we'll see just in a moment here is as we are taking just a little short picture of time. But you'll see about the seraphim, the cherubim, the four living ones, the seven angels. All of those are the same company. It's the bride. All right? Just seen and manifested in different ways. But the one thing that's consistent about all of them, they're always in the altar. They always go to the altar. And they're always coming out of the altar. And the other beautiful thing is they're always going to the altar and they're getting something. And they're coming out of that altar with something. Matter of fact, as we'll see here in a minute, it's judgment. It's even vials of the plagues that they'll pour forth. But then they'll bring vials back to the altar, which are the prayers of the saints, and they'll offer those up as well too. So you see that there's functions going on there. They bring the prayers as priests, but then they're also ruling and reigning and conquering as kings. And as the word of God says, thou hast made us priests and kings unto you. And it's so wonderful. But we see this all throughout. Amen? And we have that spirit, the spirit of the Lord in us right now. Amen. We know that by the grace of God, that is ours. And I thank him for that. And as the word has said, let it be unto me. Amen. I love that. I'm not just reading a story about something afar off. This is a type, a shadow, and even more so, and more than even a some type of a symbolic thing. This is who we are in Christ. We're getting glimpses of us in Christ. That's what's so beautiful. Now let's go on over to Revelation chapter 4. And it just gets more magnificent. And we'll start reading Revelation chapter 4, verse 6. And it says, and before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, or right in the middle of it, okay? It's marvelous here. It means right in the center. That word middle also means out from among, out of sight. That word means, midst, means out from among, out of sight. Once again, holy saint, separated unto God. You understand that? This is a separate place. Yeah, it's beautiful. And think of how out of sight it really was, in a sense, back in the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest could go back in there and look at that. So we have this, see? This is that vessel. This is that vessel only for the master's use. It's set away. It's his. And where she is, that's his. It's marvelous, isn't it? I thank God. By the way, too, that word throne, I can't just not say these things because the Lord wants me to. It says it means a royal seat. That throne means God's power. It means glory. It means an elevated place. Amen. That's right. And, you know, in due time, what an understatement. He will exalt you. Isn't that beautiful? But we know what he's talking about. And that's why our temporal sufferings are not worthy to be even compared or really uttered with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Amen. So we thank God for this. So it says, and before the throne there was a sea of glass unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Now again, these beasts are the same vision, if you will, of Isaiah and the seraphim. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them, how many wings? Six wings about him. See, we're right back there in that same vision of the seraphim. And they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Hallelujah. Praise God. He that shall come will come and will not tarry. This is going to be. And I thank God by faith it's going on in us right now. This is what we're getting readied for. But it is a beautiful thing. This is one company of believers in the midst of the throne. And why can I say believers here? Why can I say it's a company of saints? Well, go on over to chapter 5 and let's read from verse 8. Just to, again, to spark that back in your heart. See, so many people, and really, it's at least every month I speak to Christians. And so for some reason they'll start talking about the cherubim, seraphim, or whatever, because they might get online and all. And they say, oh yeah, those angels, those special creatures. I said, have you read the 5th chapter? You need to, if you read the 4th chapter, you really should read the 5th chapter. Just, you know, and in verse 8 there it says, going on of chapter 5, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Look at that. We see the full overcomers in the Old Testament, right there along the four living ones, which are the bride. And how beautiful the harmony. Why wouldn't it be? I mean, my goodness, that was the cloud that she met in the air. He brought his friends to greet her up there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 when that trump blew. Huh? Amen. Let me tell you something. There's going to be a place and a very special place of reigning. Matter of fact, they have crowns. Matter of fact, it says that they cast their crowns. But I'll tell you one thing. That bride will never take off her crown. Amen. And she never will. And matter of fact, even in today, if you will, that's been the monarchy, it would be the greatest of insults. Matter of fact, she would probably be taken that place of queen if the queen would ever remove her crown. It's the greatest dishonor to the king there could ever be. Do you know that? Okay. Where do you think it came from? I believe right here. She's not taking it off. And by the grace of God, that's why it says, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Praise God. So, it's grateful in my heart to this. But we see here that it goes on to say, so back to verse 8, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seats thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. So we know they're redeemed because of the blood that didn't work for angels. And the angels, in the sense you're thinking of in an angel, you see what I'm saying, and like a Gabriel or whatever, they can't help but do what God tells them to do. The power of this blood causes us to want to do what God told us to do. That's grace. You see the difference. But here, if you don't buy that one, then how's this? Hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So, we know that these are mankind. These are souls. And who are they? The four living ones. So we don't have to think that they're, you know, some esoteric kind of thing, that a celestial whatever. These are the likes of Paul. Others that we know that have gone before us in this age to win Christ as bridegroom. And most importantly, by the grace of God, let it be us. But notice here, it says in the midst of the throne, this is the only ruling and reigning company. And did you notice there in that 6th through 8th verse, it kept talking about their eyes. They're full of eyes within and without. And then it brought it back again. In verse 8, it says, they're full of eyes. They see. They have that vision. It's incredible. But I'm going to ask you, what have the cherubim always and only been looking at? Mercy. Got to get it. We just got to get it. And I want to get more of it. I want to see deeper, as Sister said, deeper in the layers of the blood. How deep, praise God, the depth of it, the depth of love in that precious blood. Oh, my goodness, the width, the height, the length, the breadth. It's just the immensity of the love of God, that mercy in the blood. Now, It's a marvelous thing, brothers and sisters. But as you look into the depth of that mercy, the extreme opposite of, just think of our rightful place, which was sin and death. But the extreme opposite of that, to I will be glorified with him. Amen. Ruling and reigning, to be shared with him, even to receive with him those that will bow down and worship before our feet. If that ain't mercy amplified infinity. Amen. All right? Because that's what it is. But by the grace of God, you gotta have faith now to take it, to take that place. In verse 7, isn't it wonderful? The first beast was like the lion, the second beast, the calf, and then the face of a man, and then in legal. They're like him, aren't they? They're like him. And they live that right now. How do we get to be like him? The Word of God tells us, from glory to glory. All right? And we can back that up because we know that that's a separated life. We know that that is a life of saints. They're holy. They're ones that are perfectly like him. Speaking truth in love, that we may grow up into him in all things. It's all right there. The word of his grace, build us up, give us an inheritance. That's the masterpiece. That's everything. And we thank the Lord for this. That's exactly who these are. That's exactly who these redeemed by the blood ones are. These are the ones that grew up fully, that lived a life of faith, not works, but faith, that changed them from glory to glory. It was the word of his what? The word of his works? It was the word of his grace that builds us up. Amen? It's the word of his grace that builds us up and gives us this inheritance. Among who? All them that are sanctified. Remember we said that that's like 99% of the same word of holy and saint? Set apart, sanctified, all for the use of the husband. It's the master's use. It's shut away to him. This is what this is. And he just lays it out in great detail here. But again, getting back to those eyes, they're full of eyes within and without. And again, what do they see? They see nothing but the blood. They see the perfection. The perfection is in mercy and grace. You're going to have to fight the good fight of faith the rest of your life to fight legality, to fight that fleshful thought. It's all by his mercy and grace. Everything. He said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. That gives you the power to stand. That mercy that you continue to look at, it's transforming. It's not something to look at that you're looking at mercy because you're always doing something wrong. It's looking at mercy because you're looking into the depths of his love. And remember we talked about love and what it did on Sunday? You know, we know that love causes us to do things that we never would have done. But when you really love, what you want someone to receive is your love. You want them to know your heart. Amen? Well, I thank the Lord that he knows my heart. But I'm getting this by mercy. I want him to really know my heart. I want him to know how much I love him, even though he knows, but I want him to know that. Because I know how immensely he loves me because of mercy. Amen. So, they have these eyes. And their eyes are on this perfection of mercy and grace. That's what the cherubim see. And you know what they can't do? They can't cease to praise him for it, can they? And they do it right now, don't they? And they don't rest day and night. Now you realize why all of us, none of us sleep well. I think that's all we say. You know, I don't get any sleep. That's why I look so awful. Because I praise the Lord all the time. You know, it really is pretty much that. It's the truth. It's hard to get to sleep sometimes. The Lord keep waking you up. Brother Ty always said that, you know, Jesus is on Israeli time. He's just on Jesus time, and that's all the time. And a lot of times, you're just not going to sleep, and you got to quit worrying about it, you know. I just tease you. It's not how you feel. It's how you look. I'm just teasing. But it's so beautiful, isn't it? Amen. And but they don't get tired when you have your glorified body. They don't rest because they don't need to. But it's so amazing. They can't help it. They just got to praise. They're just so full of thankfulness. And that's what they give him, don't they? Isn't that beautiful? I love that. And when the beast in verse 9 give glory. See, they give him glory. That's beautiful, isn't it? They give him glory. Well, you know what? You got to have glory to give it. You know why? Because he's given it to me. He's given it to you. And I'm going to give it to him. Oh, hallelujah. And you know, his mercy gives me honor. Don't have any, but his mercy sure gives it. Amen. And I give it to him because it's all his. And then finally, how could we not always give him thanks? And that's what mercy does. Amen. Even in hard times. That's why mercy is so important. Even when we're going through things that are very hurtful, very sorrowful times. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Yeah. And he's every bit of it. And you understand that, don't you? Praise God. Because he was made that for us. His blood gave that to us. So, holy, holy, holy. Three times. Holy, separated to him. Holy, exclusively for him. Holy, a vessel only for the master's use. I hear that when I walk in here. Because you all are saying that. You might not think you're saying it, but you're saying it. Holy, holy, holy. And you're saying it to one another. We're set apart. That's what Paul's gospel is, you see. It's the set apart gospel. It set Paul so far apart, it put him in a prison. All by himself. Are you sure you want it? But the beautiful thing, he wasn't just set apart in the prison. He was set apart by faith in the midst of the throne. That's why that joy book started bubbling out of his heart. And that's why he could write these things. And that's, again, why he wrote those specifically to those that would receive it. Specifically, those letters went out to those from the first day to the last. You've been in my gospel. And see how powerful that word is. And it performs in that thing that it sent it to. He'll do it. Because that's what the word is. It is all powerful. So, you think about this as well too. Separated to the Godhead. I love that. Holy, holy, holy. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. We're separated to the Godhead. When you're separated to the Godhead, we are filled with all the fullness of God. Yeah. Because we know the working of the power of the Godhead, don't we? We understand the Father's desire. We understand his power and his purpose. And that he's placed everything in his Son. And then we see the love of his Son. That everything is about that love wherewith we are loved. And God so loved he gave us all of his love because he gave us his Son. So we have that holy, that set apart to the Father. You know that. That's why we call him Abba Father. He's Dad. You know? Nobody else could call, in a sense, if you think about that meaning of Dad too. Hey, that's my Dad. That wasn't your Dad, but this is our Dad. But he's individually your Dad. So you're set apart to that. There's that kind of fellowship there. And then you understand the love of Jesus in that bridegroom. Just like say, oh, well, the only one he's really in love with is me. He makes you feel like you're the only one. But we know that we're not. But that's how the Lord does that. So again, that holy, separate it out. And then praise God. You're just like the only Rebecca on that camel that's being ministered to by the Holy Ghost. It's that intimate. It is that much of a table set for two all the time. Praise God. But then here we come to fellowship because we are one in this, aren't we? We're one. This is one body, one company. But we're little joints of the body supplying. And it's so marvelous how God does this. So this is this overflowing that he brings through us. Now, let's go quickly move ahead a little bit forward here. Revelation chapter 6. This again, just speaking of all the glory here. Remember how we've been talking about the glories all over the place in the cherubim, in the Holy of Holies, because holy, saints, set apart, everything set apart. So these are just some highlights of what these four living ones do and how exclusive they are to the Lord in their operation and their interaction with him. So in chapter 6, verse 1, he said, "And I saw when the Lamb," so when Christ Jesus opened one of the seals, "and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.'" So there's an orchestration together with them, isn't there? When this thing is all in this plan of basically judgment is being poured forth here, it's in harmony, it's in agreement, it's in joint reigning with Christ. And who's doing it? The beasts, that company, the four living ones, the cherubim, the bride. By the grace of God, you. Amen. So, all tying in. And once again, this is that most holy faith. This is that set apart. But by the grace of God, I pray this doesn't just set us apart in, well, I know the story. I know the words. I can recite this back to you. No, that's not what set apart faith is. Set apart faith is, this is yours. This is, you can see you with him. And this is exactly what, by the grace of God, will be. This will be. Whether you take this place, that is, by grace, it's up to you. But this will be, and this will be a company. But by the grace of God, will we be part of this? Then you go on down to the sixth verse. These are just a couple little highlights. "And I looked," it says, "and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine.'" So in the midst of the four beasts, we have this voice. We have him. We know who's in the midst, and everything's together, that wonderful company in the Lord. We're going to have to obviously have a body like unto his own. He's got to reveal this out. But the beautiful part is here, you see all of this orchestrated event is with her. Amen. It's waiting for her to be with him. And once she's with him, it's all going to be poured forth. And I love that. Always remember those precious words of Solomon as he had that rascal brother that was said, "Oh, you've got a lot of, you know, queens and wives and concubines and all that. And you just give me that Abishag. You just give me her." And even his poor mama, she didn't even get it. But I'll tell you what, he got it. He said, "If I don't have her, I don't have my kingdom." That one and the same. That's my glory. Those little things mean a lot because they all add up to one thing. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's exactly what the Lord's after. So they're conducting in judgment. They're separated. They're holy. They're glorious. These are the cherubims, the saints of the Most High, if you will. The same company. We're going to go right now. It's the same company called the seven angels. Now, remember that the word angel means a messenger. All right? So remember that. Holy saints set apart exclusively for the master's use. Now, as we get into these, we'll close up with in just a few minutes here, we'll take. But you'll notice that there's seven. Once again, now seven speaks of perfection. It speaks of completion. And these seven you're going to see take the same place because they're the same company of the four living ones. They interact together. They rule and reign together. They pour forth all of these things that the Lamb is dictating. It's fluid and it's seamless in ruling and reigning together. You'll notice once again, just like the four living ones, they go in and out of the throne. They go in and out of the altar. And their voice is just like his. Yeah. You know what they say about them married couples? They start to look alike. They start to sound alike. Well, it happens right now for this couple. They look alike and they sound alike. Amen. Remember how we read that about the cherubim? And the voice of God? Yeah. When you speak Paul's gospel, you speak the voice of God. You speak his heart. You speak his passion. Because it is the word. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. So it's just what it is. It's not a far stretch. Would you just believe what you read, please? Okay. So we're going to see here that these are a type of the cherubim. Once again, and those cherubim are made out of the throne, made out of the mercy seat. So why wouldn't it be that these four living ones go in and out of the throne and out? Because they were always seen as part of that. They were always the mercy seat. That's the throne. You understand that. That throne is mercy. Go boldly to the throne of grace to obtain what? Mercy. So I spin that. That's the throne. He's the throne. He's it. That's right. Oh, thank you, Jesus. All right. Let's read about these seven real quick, seven angels. Go over to Revelation 8, 2 and 6. Read there, just some real highlights. It says, "And I saw the seven angels which stood before God. To them were given seven trumpets." Think of that. They're the ones that are going to blast it out. And why wouldn't they be trumpets? He's got a trumpet voice. They got trumpet voices. They speak as one. They are one. They move as one. Praise the Lord. Then go on down to verse 6. It says, "And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound." You're preparing yourself to sound right now. That's why we receive this gospel. Praise God. There's a sound in her. And that sound is like him. It's his mind. It's all these things. And, you know, this is what they think of. I mentioned that about my sweet son and now my daughter. But before she was my daughter, that's all they thought about. And especially her. She thought about that wedding. That was it. I mean, there was nothing else to talk about. Everything was about that day. Everything was about that dress, the banquet, the food, the guests, everything was going to be arranged and all of that. And it was all because of one thing was going to make that wedding happen. She was going to marry the son. That's it. So this captivating thought, this captivating mind, go on over to... chapter 15, verse 1. Even gets sweeter all the time. It says, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God." So we see not only are they blasting to announce these different things, then they're given the vials, and they're going out and pouring forth the wrath. They're doing that. We know that this is in conjunction with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that beautiful one on that white horse. We are grateful to God. Now, you go on over to verses 6 through 8 of that 15th chapter. It says, "And the seven angels came out of the temple." Look at that. See, they're always coming out of the temple. They're coming out of the throne. That the cherubim was in the temple, was in the throne. It's always that same pattern. It never changes. It's that same encouragement. "Having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, having their breasts girded with golden girdles." This just speaks of glory, glory, glory. And by the way, that word white, you got that Lampros white. Remember Lampros? There's only one of two people that ever have that Lampros. It's Jesus and his bride. This is the same Lampros again. That's why those seven angels, she's got that Lampros glory. That's why you know that these seven angels got to be one thing. The four living ones, the bride of Christ, the beast, the cherubim, the seraphim. They're all the same. It's the same company. The angels don't have this kind of white. The innumerable multitude don't have this kind of white. There's only two people that have it, if you will. Jesus and his wife. And she's got to have it because she's like him. In fullness and measure and stature. She descends from heaven having the glory of God. Yeah, all these things we know. But now, praise God, they just continue to layer upon layer. And we just allow the Spirit to, again, just it's just more and more. It's like I have this cup, it's been running over and over. Amen. I love how Brother Copley out of here, he'd say that. Everybody's got a cup that's running over. It's just the size of your cup. So, back in 15, verse 6, it said, the seven angels came out of the temple having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, having their breasts girded with golden girdles. That means glory, glory, glory. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. So the only ones that are entering in and out of this thing right now is the bride and the lamb. And until it's fulfilled, nobody's getting in there but them. Isn't it awesome? This is who she is with him. This is this company. This is what he's offering to you. This is what he wants more than anything for you to take. This is his, if you will, his reality. But the word of God calls it a dream. They dream and have visions. This is his dream. He dreams this for you. This is on his heart meditation all the time. This is his heart. And then finally you go over to Revelation 21, 9. Kind of gives you the completion of it. Look at there in 21:9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Not only are they it, they can show it. Isn't that the same thing the Lord does? He's it, but he shows it. See again, she's like him. In every way and every aspect, because of what grace through mercy, or mercy through grace, however you want to look at it, did. Yeah. The likes of us that really have no use to much of this world, we're useless, let's just be honest. We have family members that tell us that all the time, I'm confident. You know, I just. They are just closer. They emphasize it better. Take it. Say thank you. Thank you. You'll learn to say thank you. But I pray by the grace of God. See, this is what's so wonderful about this. I'll show ye the bride, the Lamb's wife. Brothers and sisters, I pray that this is us. You know, if anybody's ever looking for us, you know, say, you know, where's Hagin? Oh, he's at the throne of grace. You know. Praise God. You know what I'm saying. Where is he? Oh, yeah, that's right. He's at the throne of grace. He's just looking at mercy. I know where to find him. He's just thinking about that mercy. Now, finally, how do we know these seven angels are the bride? Remember, how do we know that the four living ones were the bride? How do we know these seven angels are the same? Well, I know you already know this, but we'll rejoice in it again. Remember, this is John that's being led around heaven. And we know this is John, the disciple that Jesus said, he's a disciple that I love, so sweet. And John was the one that laid his head upon his breast and knew him so well. But in the 18th chapter of Revelation, verse 10, here you go. Let's see here. Was that 19:10? 19:10, I'm sorry. I had a wrong thought there. 19:10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. Now, this is John falling at the feet of one of the angels, okay? And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Isn't that beautiful? You know, people talk about prophecy, prophecy. Testify about Jesus. Amen. Just testify about Jesus. And then finally, it gives another encouragement, again, the same thing. John doesn't, I mean, this one that's bringing him around, this angel, so much like Jesus, he just can't help himself. He keeps worshiping this one. So in verse 8 of chapter 22, it says here about John, "And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then saith he to me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren." How could it be any more clear what these seven angels are? "I'm your brother, John. John, I'm of your brethren, the prophets. And of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God, John." Now, you know what? This is one that's, praise God, so like Jesus, just like the four living ones. Calf, the man, the eagle, and the lion. So like Jesus, so from glory to glory through Paul's gospel. And that's the only way we go from glory to glory, amen, into his image. And it's going on in them that believe it right now. And here he finally tells John, "I am thy brother of thy prophets." Probably the Apostle Paul. Don't know for sure, but probably so. But once again, just like the redeemed, the four living ones, just pay attention and read the word of God. Isn't that wonderful? Just read the word of God. Let this word separate you unto him. Let the word of God separate you unto him. But you have to have faith. You have to go out from among the camp. That's where faith will take you. Watered down stuff and everything, you'll just be right in the camp. You don't want to fight no more. You don't want to listen to this. You don't, you know, just getting too tough. You don't like me. You don't like somebody else. You'll be in the camp. And it's not, you don't understand what I'm saying. I'm using that in a sense in a type of a place or a minister that preaches the whole counsel of God. What are you hearing? What do you want? What are you going after? Man's ideas will make you stop short of all glory every time, every single time. And it's easier. But I'll tell you what, it comes at a great cost. The leanness to your soul at the end to say, "I've wasted my life." God forbid. Amen. God forbid. And I think that's, matter of fact, coming for this. I'd be gone, God willing, this Sunday, but Sunday, if the Lord tarry, we've been talking about being ready for the appearing. I think it's time to talk about what happens after the appearing. What's it going to be like after the appearing? Well, I'll tell you what. That's when you stop short of his glory. That's called leanness to your soul. If any of us missed the first trump, there would definitely need to be tears wiped from my eyes. Because I would not stop crying until I saw him. But I'll tell you what, God's word will make you go on to become a king and a bride. God's word will take you out from among the camp. I'm so glad we're there with him. I can see it on your face. Let's stay there, amen. And we'll encourage one another. See, that's what spiritual ones do. They don't tear one another down. They wait and anticipate and are ready in any way. Now, that doesn't mean that we're there to, encourage someone in something that would be deadly to them, pacify somebody, enable somebody in certain ways. But I'll tell you what, always stand in love. Amen. Always stand in love. Be ready to lift up any brother or sister's arms that wants to go on. It's the greatest victory. And it is. It's the greatest testimony of those that truly are like him. They're restorers. They look to restore. They want nothing more than everybody to win God's best. Amen. everybody. They want everybody exclusively for him. It is marvelous. All right, let's stand, be dismissed.